Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, today, Lord, we're going to learn some lessons about what really soul prosperity is about, because, Lord, until we come to the place where we can move into our future, forgetting our past, God, it'll never happen. Lord, hard things we've gone through and difficulties we face in this life cannot be the determining factor of what our future will look like. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you would teach us today from the things that we've learned, that you would cause us to prosper in every way. But Lord, most of all, we come to that place where we're doing all the things you've called us to do. Lord, we ask you to just direct everything that happens today, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. For we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. With all these things being the case, we must really stop and take a moment to realize that all the things that God is trying to teach us is for one purpose, that we would prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. That's what the Word of God says. But as we've discovered over the last few weeks in the life of Joseph, a lot of things happened to him, and I don't have time to go over the whole thing, but throughout this parallel of this message, I think you'll find out that he went through some hard stuff. He went through things with family. Anybody ever had family issues? Don't raise your hand. I want to protect your identity. But somehow, there's something about it when you're born into a family, however picture-perfect beaver-cleaver thing it is, things happen. But you know what? God is here. He's a God of redemption. He's a God of hope. He's a God of restoration. He's all of those things. And today we're going to learn more about his love. God has so designed our walk with him to encompass everything that we do in order to draw us into a closer relationship with him through the Holy Spirit. Here's the three things we're going to talk about today. First one's this. Are you willing to move your focus from where you are to where you're willing to allow the Lord to take you? In other words, some people are stuck. Partly, it's not just being stuck in their past, they're just kind of stuck. And your world and the surroundings that you've been in, it's a very short, a very shallow place. And here we find Joseph, and we're going to find him in a place where he's made some decisions along the way since his promotion into the house of Egypt that probably weren't the best decisions, but now he's ready to give it all up to see what God's got in store for him. Second thing is this. Can you grasp the faith to believe in the Lord for your healing rather than learning to cope with your sickness physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Some of us can, you know, I said this before and I believe it. You can get used to anything. Oh, yes, you can. And matter of fact, I'm finding folks nowadays, oh my goodness, really? Oh yeah, that's their reality. And some people get to that particular place where their reality becomes their experience. But you know, the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us that he's moving us to a place of destiny that everything that God has prophesied or has determined for us, it shall come to pass as we turn and learn how to believe in him. How about this? Are you willing to dig deeper in order to allow God to take you higher? I was told this many years ago, and it's true. I've seen a lot of construction around Portland. You seen any things around Portland lately? I'll tell you what, before you can go up, you've got to go down. The higher the building, the deeper the foundation. I remember they were doing a building down in downtown Portland. And it seemed like forever. It wasn't forever. But it was for several months. They went down, 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 down. And I talked to one of the engineers. He said, "He says if we're going to go up, we got to go down." And I think what God's telling some of us today, if you want to go up, you got to go down on your knees and find Jesus in a whole different way. And he'll be able to take you higher than you've ever been before in your entire life. Well, let's get into this. Well, our soul will prosper if we choose to be partakers of the divine nature of Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given to us things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to by his glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Wow. Do you believe that? Somebody says, well, I don't know. That doesn't sound like me. Who escaped the world, by which you have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. God is a promise keeper, not a promise breaker. Everything he said he's going to do, he's going to do it. And so it's yea and amen to whatever he's promises. And going into this, Joseph had a decision to make as to whether he was going to be willing to let go of the past to enjoy the prosperity of his future. This is kind of the end of Joseph's story for us. There's one other place, as a postlude to this whole thing, we'll get into in chapter 50. Real quickly about his stories, he finds himself a very gifted young man. Starts out as a teenager. Prophetic voice, tells his brothers about it, stupid moves on his part. Stupid. Now, we don't think some of the things we've done in our life are stupid. I want to tell you right now, they were stupid. We thought they were cool. I'm going to be great one day, and guess what? You guys are going to bow down and serve me. Do you think that went over well? No. His brothers hated him. Hello? He set himself up for failure. As a matter of fact, they tried to kill him. And at this point, they think he's dead. He's very much alive. And this is where it really gets dicey. He's got the upper hand. Oh, this is going to help a lot of you today. Yeah. So, he had the power to right every wrong that had been waged against him by his family. This right at this particular point, the scripture you just read. He's the head honcho over, you know, Egypt. He controls all the resources. Question for you. If you could get even with every person who has wronged you, would you do it? Don't raise your hand. We don't need to know. But I already know. Some of you are just waiting for that opportunity. Said, now you're going to see. I'm going to help you today. You need deliverance in Jesus' name. He could have kept his identity, get this, secret, and left his brothers and family wondering whatever happened to him, whatever became to him. They hadn't recognized him. You know, it's been years since this whole thing came about. And now he's grown up, they've grown up, and they've already got a vision of him. The last vision they have of him is kind of wallowing in a pit that they threw him off into. Then they drag him out of this, and they sell him into slavery. And that's bye-bye Joseph. You know, some people have a vision of you back in your older days or other days, and they never thought you'd get where you are today. Is that right? Matter of fact, someone will say, you saved? You what? You're a Christian now? You? You just didn't have the profile. Well, he could have allowed his flesh to play games and torture his brothers and get even. Now, to some degree, he kind of did. He wasn't perfect. Kind of worked with them a little bit. He knew who they were. They didn't know who he was. And so he kind of, you know, pulled a few little games. You know what I found out? Christians play games. Don't pretend like you don't. Yes, you do. I'm saved and sanctified. But honey, your game plan is not sanctified. Okay, that's another thought. The nature of our soul is to want comfort and pleasure, which means this. We will gravitate toward the things that will make us feel better for the moment. And that's the reason why some of us are in big trouble now. It looked good driving off the showroom floor till them window envelopes came in the mail. You know what I'm talking about, the one that says, you know. Of course, you don't do that anymore. All you do, it shows up in your email. You don't have window envelopes. The poor postman, he don't do that anymore. You just kind of look at me, oh, somebody transfer the money. Oh, there's nothing to transfer over. Oh, dear Jesus. Well, that's another story. We can talk about that in our what you call it, conference in a little bit, one of these days. Money management. Well, we'll find ourselves wanting to have control over things or people in order to make ourselves feel important. I know I'm going to preach this today. Some people are going to be sitting, you can sit up there getting mad, get glad, don't leave now, we'll know, okay? But somehow, when God blesses us, we get this thing in us that all of a sudden it's about us. It will never be about you. It will always be about him. God wants us, if there's anything that's happening in your life, it'll be to glorify him. So the deal is, our soul longs for growth and significance, which will often require us to be vulnerable. Vulnerability comes to the place when you're willing to admit, I've made some mistakes. And some of them were on purpose. We knew ahead of time, but we did it anyway. I feel conviction in the room. Choosing to love and forgive people that we have every right to hold hostage to their acts of ill treatment toward us can only be dealt with by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a long, long statement. Bottom line is this. Choosing to love and forgive, only God can do it. There is no magic pill. There is no magic seminar I can send you to. Only the Holy Spirit getting access to your soul will it happen. Our soul needs to embrace godliness on every level. That's a good amen spot. Amen. What does that mean? It means that godliness is a bridge between patience and kindness. The bridge. Be patient. God's been long-suffering toward you. Be kind, tender-hearted toward one another, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. Is that the Bible I'm talking about? But your patience over here and your kindness, sometimes the bridge between that is what God is trying to build so we can really be all he's called us to be. Otherwise, your soul will never prosper like God wants it to. Or you'll never embrace godliness. Godliness is the work of the Spirit on our soul that allows us to make right choices when we have been wronged. Ow. Can I go as far as to say this? And I will. Some of us don't forgive, and I'll tell you one reason why. Because we don't want to. Not because we can't. But because we don't want to. Because if we do, then there'll no longer be anything that we have against that person. And we like being in a position of control. Whew. Ooh, I know. This is floating all over the room. We must be willing to allow our motives to be transparent and examined closely by anyone the Spirit allows. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. I'm going to get all scripture here. Here we go. Therefore, whoever eats and drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. I got to frame that for you. When I was a kid in church, we'd have communion service. And communion service was a big deal. And my grandfather, he was an elderly man, he was a little short guy. How I got tall, I don't know. He was 5'3". 5'3". He was a bricklayer, so he's like this brick standing up there. And I remember he'd take his finger, he'd be like, whoever eats and drinks of the body of the Lord unworthily shall be. I'm thinking, when he said that, I knew I was going to hell. I was going to hell in a handbasket. I was on my way out. Because it was a communion time, so I felt like I need to get everything straight with everybody because they said they're drinking in the King James Version, it says damnation. That sounds bad. Damn anything is bad. Damnation's got to be bad, okay? I didn't swear, okay? But the deal is, the word says, whoever eats of this bread and drinks of this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. In other words, it won't work. In an unworthy manner. When you hold something against someone else and you say, I'm just going to go partake of God's forgiveness in my life, the body of Christ, I'm important to the body of Christ, his blood cleanses me, and you're not willing to forgive someone else, you've got an issue that God says, mm-mm, it's not going to work. We are the only one who can submit to honest examination and scrutiny of our real motives and intentions. As much as I want to judge you, I can't do it. God won't let me. The other part of it is we must allow the Lord to create in us, as David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence. And this is what he said. You can correct me on this if I get it wrong. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. The only thing that we have, the only umpire that we have in our spirit that will keep us on the right track is the Holy Spirit. He will can tell you, say, that ain't working. Or say, now in my vernacular, say, Holy Spirit would say, you need to correct it. Me, I'd say, you lying. You are lying through your teeth. What is wrong with you? That's me saying. Holy Spirit says, you need to fix that. And conviction will come along, and all of a sudden the atmosphere will change. There's more to it I think we need to be involved with. Is that he says, anything we harbor in our hearts will affect our words and behavior, which determines the life of our soul. Do you know when you have something against someone, you talk differently to them than you do anyone else? You're either short or you're distant, or you're shallow, or you're so careful, or you couch your words in all kinds of nonsense. Because there's something you're trying to navigate yourself with words. But the Holy Spirit knows the deal all the time. Here we go. Joseph needed to let go of the past to make room for what was coming in the future. I want to tell you, you will never get to where God has intended for you to go if you're still holding on to your past. You barely let go. What does that mean? Well, in the story as it starts, or as the scripture has said to us, as it opens up, Joseph could not restrain himself anymore. He's at this apex. He's got to make a decision. His brothers are in front of him. And all of a sudden, a download from God, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, his emotions get the best of him. He says, I got to deal with this. Look at this. It says, well, he moved everyone from his present situation out of the way to deal with his past. The Bible says, and he says, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. I want to tell you right now, clear the deck. Get everything out of the way that keeps you from being honest and open about the issues you need to deal with. Oh, boy, this is a heavy word. You're thinking, man, there ain't no place to hide. You're right. We used to say this old folks, lights turn on, you can't hide. That's what he used to tell us. Some of you like cockroaches. Turn the lights on there. Everybody scatters. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you a cockroach. But some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You hear that scampering going on? Help me, Jesus. We must be intentional and direct when we deal with things that we have left unfinished. I read this book months and months ago by a Christian author called Unfinished Business. Ooh. Don't read it unless you're ready. Because it will tear the cover off of your cover of the things that we just kind of gloss over. So he moves everyone out of his present situation. We must be intentional. We must be willing to ask ourselves, do we want to be living the way we are now 5 years from now? 5 days from now? How about 5 minutes from now? I want to give you a chance or an opportunity that when this service ends, or even now, doesn't have to be when the service ends, doesn't have to be when the lights are low and the music is going. No. It could be right now. Do you want to stop the way that you're living? Today's the day to do it. Do you want the pain to stop, the misery to stop? You have a perfect opportunity to get it right today. I often use this illustration of, oh my goodness, you know, the one more night with the frogs deal, you know? Pharaoh's got frogs everywhere, and they're in the cupboards, they're in the bin, this type of thing. And so Moses says, when would you like the frogs to leave? He says, oh, tomorrow will be great. He could have had deliverance right then. He says, oh, I can spend one more night with the frogs. That's how some of us are. One more night with the frogs. They're not that slimy. They're okay. I kind of like frogs. Some of them are my pets. Whatever. We must be willing to end what we are allowing to dominate our life in order to inherit what God has in store for us. So Joseph had to allow his emotions to process. Now listen to this. Here's some things that have to be processed. Listen very carefully. Allow his emotions to process the pain of fear, abandonment, anger, frustration. And when you let go of those things, guess what moves in? Love. But when you're holding on to those other things, love has no place in your life because it's tainted by all those other things. I'm going to move through these next few things rather quickly because I really want God to really manifest the things I believe in my heart that needs to occur. Joseph chose to admit that he wanted to reclaim an identity of belonging to something that appeared to have deemed to be impossible. He's there. His brothers are in front of him. He could have copped a plea and said, I don't care enough about these guys. I don't need them. I've made it to the top. And you know, some of us are silly enough to think that we make it to the top, that there are certain people we can just dismiss out of our lives and we'll never, ever need them again. I'm preaching to somebody right now. There are people that you have written off that you don't need them. If I never see them again, my life will be fine. I want to tell you, that's a lie the devil told you. Well, he chose to invite those who had rejected him to have intimate contact with him. Note what he says here. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. You know, when you really forgive, you're scary. Because some people, after they've done things to you that have been so bad and so hurtful, they process it on the way, I could never forgive anybody if they did that to me. And when you say, I forgive you, they're thinking, oh no. And they kind of stay away from you. They're kind of, you know, walking on pins and needles, and they don't want to say the wrong thing. But there's something about the genuineness of the Holy Spirit that invites us into relationship with things that have been broken for a long, long time. I want to invite you to a place where you thought you'd never be. Well, yeah. The fact is, Joseph had dealt with his anger in order to help his brothers deal with theirs. Wow. He chose to invite them in, and it means that when we have truly processed forgiveness, we can be the agent of change for those who are stuck in condemnation for the acts that they have waged against us. Let me repeat that for you. When we have truly processed forgiveness, we can be the agent of change for those who are stuck in condemnation for the acts they've perpetrated against us. But wait a minute. The offense was against me. I got a right to hold a grudge. I got a right to figure out when I'm accessible and when I'm not accessible. I'm still in control. And God says, if you're going to forgive, you relinquish all control. You're not the gatekeeper on anybody. Well, Joseph's forgiveness allowed him to see things from a heavenly perspective. And we must be willing to let go of what is to make room for what is to come. Being stuck, being held hostage, is one of the most difficult things for all of us to face. In these next few minutes, I want to give you some steps that I think will help all of us to do this the way God intended. Well, our perspective on what has happened to us will change only if we allow our soul to process the power of God's grace in the bigger picture. 45, verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. First part, so it was not you who sent me here, but God. Is that the word of God? But wait a minute, his brothers threw him in the pit. His brothers sold him into slavery. Is that contradictory? God will change our perspective on what has happened to us if we listen and obey the truth of his word. Yeah, there's some hard things people have done to you, but you know something? You would not be where you are today unless what happened to you really happened. Do you know some of the smartest people in the world failed miserably? Flunked out of college, did all kinds of different things. They had some, if you read their profiles, him? He went through all that? And now he's ahead of this and he's worth billions and billions of dollars. Bad things can happen to you, but you know what? God is the final determiner of what your life's going to look like today. But I need to tell you something else. Now that you've heard this word, you have a problem. You have a decision to make as to whether or not you're going to allow God to have his rightful place in your life. Well, God can cause some of the worst decisions to work into his plan for your future. Can you imagine the shock of Joseph's brother when he says, I've got something to tell you. I'm your brother that you threw in the ditch. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. The Bible says, but his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Dismayed is underplaying the deal. Dismayed makes it look nice. They were scared. They were really scared. You know what I mean? They didn't know it. Because he felt that the next thing there's, he goes, guards, gather them up, throw them in a pit or throw them in the lions, doing whatever. But it never happened. You know, some things that you have in your life right now that you're afraid are going to happen will never, ever happen. But the devil will dominate your life with fear of what may happen. And that's the reason why you can't move forward right now. You're just, oh, somebody finds out, oh, this happened. Oh. And the devil's got you paralyzed with fear. But now I want to say, what God will forgive, no one can hold against you. Bible says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you say, I'm done with the flesh, I'm walking after the Spirit of God, something transforms in your life, and God does a miracle. Wow. Well, our response to hard things will determine the depth of our soul and its ability, God, to rebound for his glory. We must be willing to face our future with the hope of his grace to atone for our mistakes. Years ago, I preached about this thing called greasy grace. Get on the skin, just slide through everything. God, just kiss me, give me a pass on this. Here's a scripture you can rely on because it's in the Word of God. His mercies are renewed every morning. God's mercies and grace are not the same thing. Mercy gives you another chance. And you know what? God's giving you another chance today to get it right. Now, his grace oftentimes covers for our mistakes, but see, some of us got it confused. Oh, God will take care of it. Oh, he just knows I'm stupid. We know you're, but never mind. Let's get to the Word of God. Godliness is ours if we allow our soul to live by His divine power. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7, the next few verses says this. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. It's a progression. Start here at the place where it's going to be. First of all, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. You know what virtue is? Moral excellence. I want to tell you why Joseph got as far as he did. It wasn't because he was the greatest guy around, but there were some decisions that he made that wrong was wrong and right was right. And unfortunately, there's this confusion gray that people got and said, well, it doesn't really matter. It just matters what you feel. Ay, 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 ay. Joseph applied the principle of faith to abound, to be fruitful. No matter what happened, he was determined to make the best of the situation. I want to rebuke every negative thought, every negative thing that's happened out of you right now in the name of Jesus. God's going to work it out for good. Stop dwelling on how bad it was and thank God you've got a chance for Him to work through you to right that situation. Where there's breath, there's life, there's hope for God to do exceedingly above what you could ask, think, or imagine. So he made the best. Here's the other thing he did. He used his gifts and talents to bring glory to God. Some of you are on strike. I ain't doing nothing for God until He fixes the situation the way I want it. I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to involve any ministry. I'm not going to go through Rooted. I'm not going to do anything until everything comes my way. God, move in my life. God says, uh-uh. You in control. Until you relinquish control, God is not interested. Go ahead and draw a circle around yourself. Stay in the circle. Ain't nothing going to happen to you. Or with you. Through you. You've just cordon yourself off. But he used his gifts and talents to bring glory to God. He allowed the Spirit of God to bring him correction. And you know when the Spirit of God hit him? All of a sudden, he was overwhelmed. He told all of his officers, get out. I can't take this anymore. And Joseph broke down. He let his guard down and he let the emotion that was in the depth of his spirit come out. And they say he wailed so loud that everybody heard him. Everybody. But you know, you have to get with God where you don't care if everybody hears you. If God wants to cleanse your spirit, you need to get over yourself and let God do what He needs to do to bring you where He wants to take you. You got to get over the idea, I've got to retain my decorum. Retain my dignity. You ain't got no dignity. What does that mean? It means that one of the greatest agents God uses to bring correction is our soul. To our soul is time. And I want to tell you, the time for your correction is today. Whew. Maybe tomorrow. No, today. I don't feel I'm ready. Oh, no, honey. It's not going to be on your timetable. It's when you hear the day that, here's what the Bible says. The day that you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, you better. Because you may never, ever feel or experience God like you are right now. Well, even though we may be in a hurry, God isn't. Really? Ever thought God was late? But moving on. Time is truly in his hands. When we have made, when we have made the proper soul surrender, God will cause things to change miraculously. And you know, in that instant, when all of a sudden it hit Joseph, he couldn't control himself. He just started wailing. And I'm not looking for something dramatic where you just fall on the floor and emptying the tissue box. That's not my point. But he wept aloud. He made himself known to his brothers, and then he just fell apart. He says, I can't hold this in any longer. You know what that was all about? It's him admitting who you really are. That's what it's about. Admitting the family that you belong to. Do you know what? You really belong to God. But you got a taskmaster called the devil that convinced you differently. But it's time to go back to your real inheritance, and that's to God. Come on. Real quickly, I'm just about done. He says, and Joseph was committed to moral excellence. He refused to defile himself with the temptation that would betray God and his worldly boss. You know the story. Potiphar's wife says, you a handsome fellow. He said, forget that, lady. I'm moving on with God, okay? You can make good decisions even though you've made some good decisions up to this point. Next thing is, he realized that sometimes when you do the right thing, it will not work in your favor. Remember, he tried the whole idea. Well, as soon as you get in there, just tell him I was the one who helped you. And it wasn't time. And so he goes back. He's thinking the baker and the other guy, butler, are going to get him out of here. And a few more years, he's still in jail. You're not going to come out in your time. You'll come out in God's time. And then he held fast to being who God created him to be and used his gifts to promote others. And now he finds himself, he's the head guy in the whole kingdom. Well, Joseph found that his knowledge and self-control had to work hand in hand with what was going on to have a good future. It means this, that sometimes our knowledge will not get us the things we want when we want them. It won't. It's not all knowledge. It's a progressive thing. We must learn to wait regardless of how talented and gifted we are. Patient endurance is a gift that is not often embraced by those who are greatly gifted. I'm going to read that one again. Patient endurance is not a gift that is often embraced by those who are greatly gifted. Patient endurance will enhance our ability to impact the culture that seeks instant gratification. I'm talking about what's happening right now in our culture. Let me define that for you quickly. We will impact people who are seeking significance in things rather than in the person of Jesus Christ. People are just looking for the latest thing, the latest thing on the internet, the latest app for their phone. Honey, they got apps that can do anything for you. You don't even have to breathe anymore. Put an app on your phone. It'll remind you. I mean, it's stupid. Apps for everything. You used to have a life. Now you got a phone. Am I right about it? Oh, if you lose your phone right now, some of you will collapse. My phone is gone. Somebody took my phone. Jesus been gone forever. Haven't missed him, but your phone. Holy Spirit can't get a hold of you, but you're looking for your phone. I got news for you. You need to have a Holy Spirit encounter that the first thing you admit is that the presence of God isn't like it used to be. Oh, I'm going to fool around and preach in a minute. Leave me alone. Our godliness will lead us into compassionate encounters with people in order to show them the love of Christ. Get ready, because here it's coming. Have you lost the passion of sharing Jesus with someone over the fact of showing them the new app on your phone? Now, you'll show them the app, but you ain't showing them Jesus. But I'll tell you what, Jesus is faster than any app you can put on your phone. I dare you to call on the name of Jesus, because that's the one you can call on him, and he can change your situation like that. Your phone will die, the battery will go dead, but Jesus is always on the main line. We will need to examine our motives and choose the things that line up with how we truly want to be. Let me just ask you this question. What's your life going to be like 5 years from now? Better or worse? I don't know. That's the wrong answer. That is the wrong answer. The Bible says from glory to glory, we should be changing into the image of Christ. Where you are today, you should be going even further. This is not a race or anything. It's actually what it is. It's a race to the arms of Jesus. He's just drawn closer to him. And that's the thing that attracts you more than anything else, is the presence of God. Okay, worship team, make your way up here and that'll shut me down. It'll work out good. Joseph made the choice to be used in order to affect his family and culture in which he lived. This last scripture we're going to go into. Genesis 45, verses 11 and verse 15. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. God is making divine provision for you. And was through a guy that was thrown in prison under false charges that now is saying, you know, I want to provide for you. And then he says, moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Wow. There's something about it when you have somebody you just can't stand, and all of a sudden you want to kiss them. That's Jesus. That's the Holy Ghost. That ain't you. With your unforgiving, hard-hearted, stubborn, stiff-necked self, in the name of Jesus. This one scripture, as I close, says this. Genesis 50, he left a legacy for those who followed after him. Verse 50, verse 24, says, Joseph said to his brethren, I'm dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know what? If you're not going somewhere or taking someplace, people on a journey that will make their life better, why are you here? That's kind of brutal. Why are you here? Just doing your thing? Bow your heads with me, everybody. I know I said a lot these last few minutes, but last 45 minutes. But here's where it really comes down to. What will your life, or where would your life be a month from now? I won't go 5 years, a month from now. If you keep on doing what you're doing right now. Well, I can say for some of you, you're in trouble. Because you don't even have a plan. When you wake up in the morning, it's not all for Jesus. It's just like, just try to survive, trying to make it through this, trying to make something. But you know something? God did not intend for you to live that way. The Holy Spirit is here today to draw you into his presence. And I want to tell you how Joseph got there. When he let his emotions well up to the point where he was able to admit, he says, I'm the guy you threw away. But I've learned to forgive, and I've realized that God had purpose, and one of my purposes was to prepare the way for you. And you know what? The reason why you're still here is that one of your purposes is to prepare the way for someone else. You got to get over you. If there's any issue in your life that will keep you from being what God intended you to be for other folks, that's what I'm after. I'm going to pray. At the end of my prayer, there's several people that are here today. There are people who've never given their life to Jesus. There's other people who have allowed themselves to be impacted by folks that they're holding things against. And you're stuck. But only temporarily, because the Holy Spirit is here to free you up. Let me pray. God of the ages, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thy triumphant three in one. I ask that the visitation of your Spirit would just come by this place in almighty power and bring not only conviction, Lord God, but hope to those who said, I could never imagine myself being free from things that have held me back all of my life. I find myself stuck in a place I really don't want to be. I now realize that Jesus is who I need and who I want. I will not allow myself to be held hostage to who people think I am, because you already know who I am. And I'm willing to respond to an altar. I'm willing to respond and get out of my seat and come to Jesus. Allow him to cleanse me from everything that's holding me back from being who God wants me to be. Because I know that's the only thing that'll work. Just sit there for a moment. I'm going to tell you a couple things that you to ward off the devil, because he will mess with you. He'll begin to tell you what other people think. What will your wife think? What will your kids think? What will your peer group think? But you know, right now it's just you and Jesus. And he says, son, daughter, I want you to respond to me. And everything you struggle with at this point, I have the answer. But you must forsake your pride and allow me to do it. Now, if you can believe that, that God has talked to you, I want you to lift your hand right now and say, I believe that. I need to do something about that today. Lift it up high where I can see it, all over this building.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.